fluid communicating and just, wow. I'm like, who is that? I'm like, who is this? Man, thanks, bro. Good. Well, it's good to see everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. I broke a sacred law this morning. I turned my heat on in October. I'm sorry. It's on. So, don't worry. I'm reacclimating. It's taking me a little bit, but yeah, I said Rockstar is going to be just so disappointed in me know that my heat is on this morning. How many haven't put their heat on yet? You haven't put your heat on yet this morning. You haven't. Yeah, I know. I could use the excuse that I'm a young child at home. But it's not. It's all about me. I saw the thermostat here this morning. I thought it was 65 degrees. I'm like, oh, dear God. Thank God for worship, because worship just warms you up, doesn't it? How many thank God for our worship team? Well, let them know, man. Let them know. We're not in November yet, but it seems like a season of Thanksgiving. Should be a daily, regular habit of ours. Should be a lifestyle thing. But sometimes I just think it's good to give thanks for how good you got it. And that obviously begins and ends with Jesus. But I'm just so thankful for faithful men and women, faithful young people. I love the fact that there's a lot of young people on the worship team now. Yeah, kick some of us old people off and. Yeah. I noticed too much gray in my beard this morning. I don't know what that was all about, but I won't repeat that, but that's okay. Anyway, yeah. No, but you guys are beautiful. It's awesome. I'm really, really excited about being here this morning, sharing the word with you guys. This is a really, this is a miracle, honestly. And I think sometimes we can take that for granted, that our baptism in Christ isn't just like Romans 6 talks about in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Obviously, that's the whole of our salvation. That's the whole of our story. But our baptism also is into one another. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about how we're baptized into the body of Christ. And I don't know if you've given thought to this ever or maybe recently. I don't know everybody here, but being baptized in the body of Christ means that our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ are literally intertwined with one another. Right. Literally intertwined with one another. And so it's one of those things where we realize that so much of what God is going to do, and I know it's important to personalize it and individualize it, but so much of what God's going to do in this current move, in this next move, is through our union together. Amen. And so as we gather this morning, one of the great things that God does is he doesn't speak just to you, he speaks to us. So whenever someone's communicating, especially when we're in the midst of a series, obviously, our pastors, they pray and they search the heart of God. They believe it's what God is saying to us. It's not just about you. Get off your self-centered, selfish little perch. It's not just about you. It's about us. And so the person sitting next to you needs to hear as much as you do. And as collectively as we receive the word of God from the Holy Spirit, then just things can really, really take place that are spectacular. So, amen? I want to read one scripture to you guys this morning as we begin, and I'm going to pray. It's in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. I'm just going to kind of jump into the stream of what Pastor talked about last week, that he desires us. So Isaiah 43 and verse 7, simple, but it's good. Amen? It says this. Says, everyone who is called by my name, everyone who's called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Check out that little statement in the middle where he says, whom I have created for my glory. I want to talk to you this morning about the value of his presence in becoming a new wineskin at the end. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the powerful expression of worship this morning in this house. Thank you that this is a house of prayer and it's a house of worship. And Lord, we pray that you are delighted to come in the midst of this place and to dwell and to let the very, very nature and the presence of God to just settle deeply in this place, Lord. We want to see you. And we want to hear from what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Amen.
So Pastor last week shared a message about God's desire for us. How many were here last week? How many believe he desires you? That's not just an idea and a concept. That's a transformational reality. When it goes from your head to your heart.
Yes.
I mean, it's got to go in your head. But it can't stay there. When it gets into your heart and you realize that God desires you, it really has the potential to change everything in your life.
Amen.
That's why this is a miracle. That's why this is a miracle. Because there is a living spiritual being that has done everything in his power to keep you out of here. Now, I know when you step outside in the world, especially in upstate New York, the prevailing worldview is that evil doesn't exist, that Satan's a figment of our imagination, just like God is. But the reality is there is a real spiritual being who's the prince of the power of the air. He's the leader of the kingdom of darkness, and he has done everything in his power and will continue to do everything in his power to keep you from the presence of God. And he does it through, like Kim was talking about this morning, he does it through lies, he does it through torment, he does it through harboring up past experiences, he does it through a lot of different ways. In fact, sometimes he'll try to use the people in here.
Sure.
That's why one of the most powerful methods of spiritual warfare is you refuse to be offended. That's a good word. I mean, that right there is a good word. That's not what I was going to share this morning, but that's a good word. You refuse to be offended. And you maintain and you keep yourself in the love of God no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
It isn't easy. I haven't preached with you in the front row in a long time, so this is, I gotta be careful. Yeah, don't take me off track. But Isaiah talks about here that he desires you because he delights in you.
Right.
It says he created you for his glory. Now, glory has a lot of different manifestations in the scriptures, but in this context, in the context I want to talk about this morning, it is glory is his presence. So if we could just substitute that word for a second, hear it now. It says, I've created us for his presence. In other words, he wants you. And Pastor brought us back to the Garden of Eden. Where Eden literally, if you transliterate it, Eden means delight. It's the garden of the Father's delight. And what did he do? He didn't just create us. He created us for himself. He created us for intimate, personal relationship with him. And it was his delight to do so. It's not like God was bored. It's not like God didn't have anything else to do. All right? He longs to be close to you. And I loved what you said last week, because even after sin, now, we take for granted as Christians because we're washed in the blood. How many are washed in the blood? You're washed in the blood. How many sins are forgiven in this place? Your sins are forgiven, right? You've been redeemed from the curse. You know all those truths, and sometimes we simply forget that he loved you before you sinned, knowing you were going to sin. He loved you when you sinned. He loved you after sin. And that's why I love to read in the Hebrew scriptures particularly, where we sort of try to avoid, you know, the places like Leviticus, we avoid those places that all they talk about is sacrifices and sacrifice, and we just want to get to Jesus. Well, here's the thing. Every single one of those sacrifices holds the expression of his love and his mercy. So when you read about those, you're reading about how merciful God is. And even in the midst of that, his mercy calls out to say out to you and says, I want to be close to you. I want to be near you. This is the language of covenant. Where in every covenant, in every single covenant, God is saying, I want to be near you.
Right.
And I mean, we need to hear that because, let's face it, I mean, that is not the prevailing, you know, opinions of people out there. They don't want to be near you. And they don't want to be near me. And there'll be times even the closest person in your life doesn't want to be near you. But can you just catch this morning? There is not a minute, there is not a second. even from before you were born, where God said, I don't want to be near you. I don't want to be close to you. He's always been thinking about you. I love reading the Psalms and just drinking in the realities of his thoughts toward me are more numerous than the sand on the seashore. Now, what are those thoughts? Are they regretful thoughts?
No,
no, they're not. No.
Yeah.
No. No, I mean, everything culminates, of course, in the coming of Christ and everything he did. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, coming of the Holy Spirit. All of it culminates with that. But here's the thing. If you read the lead up to it, it's always about him saying, I will do what I have to do to be near them.
Right.
I'll set up a tabernacle. I'll kill some animals. I'll clothe Adam and Eve. I'll do whatever. I need to be near them because that's my desire. That's my fervent passion. That is my heart. And you and I have to connect deeply with that because it's not always going to feel that way.
Right.
Who's got some unanswered prayers out there? Oh, five of you have unanswered prayers. This is a heck of a church, man. Man, I need to step my game up, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, when you're praying and you're seeking and you're pouring your heart out like water before the Lord and that answer doesn't come right away, the temptation will be to think, he doesn't want to be near me. He doesn't desire me. That's the temptation, and each one of us face that to varying degrees. And we have to climb back into the Word. We have to climb back into this is his voice. This is Psalm 119, verse 60 says, the entirety of his Word is truth. The entirety of the Word is truth. This is why we live our lives based upon the truth. This is why we base our lives on the truth. This is why in a few weeks we're going to vote from the basis of truth. Not how persuasive people can be. Not how emotional we can get stirred up. It's simple. The entirety of your word is truth. Therefore, the entirety of my life will be surrounded by what you have to say. And what he has to say clearly is, he wants to be near you and he desires you. Come on, somebody, that's so good. That's so good. I left here happy last week. I was happy all week, not because everything went my way, but because I was reaffirmed in the reality that he's for me. And if he's for me, finish the sentence, if he's for me, and that's just so good.
Amen.
So what is our response to that, right? What's our response to this overwhelming reality of him wanting to be close to us at all times? Our response is that we cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. This is something that is not going to happen overnight. This is something I've been working on for 27 years with the Spirit's help. But it's something I feel like is like really imminent over the last several months in my heart, just pulling me back into this reality of cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. This is not a Thanksgiving message, okay? But I do think it's important that, and I've been trying to develop these, where I have these anchor verses that I can go to at all times, right? These anchor verses. I remember Vaughn Gerald always talking about like having words from God just in your pocket. You can just pull out at any time. Like even if you didn't have the actual written word with you, you just pull it out at any time and you could refresh yourself, remind yourself, or maybe, you know, evangelize and tell somebody else something or encourage someone with a word, but you just pull them out. And these anchor verses about Thanksgiving, which you all know them, but they're so powerful when they become more than just words on a page. Because they literally anchor you in times of uncertainty and distress and whatever. And so one of them is Psalm 100. One of them is Psalm 100, where the psalmist basically gives us an invitation. And he says this. He says that when you enter the gates of the Lord, you do it with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When you enter his gates. Now, what's gates? It's a whole nother sermon, so I'm just going to give it to you plain. Gates are simply a symbol or a metaphor for where a king dwells. So it's his presence. So it's, again, it's come into his presence, which you are invited to. That's the language of enter. It's come with me. It's abide with me. It's draw close to me. It's draw near to me. It's come. And when you come, what do? Do you come with your complaining?
No.
How about this? When you come, do you first come even with your petition?
No. Well, some of us do.
I do. You probably do too. Right? And I'm not saying this is a formula. I'm not saying that. Right? I mean, there's going to be moments when, like, he's your dad. So there's going to be moments when you're going through it, you just got to run to your dad and be like, Dad, I need help. Right? You don't got to go, I'm sorry, wait a minute. Father, you're awesome. You're incredible. You're glorious. Yeah, right. Okay, now I need help. Like, you don't do that. Right? If I come to my friend's house, I don't walk in and go, Hi, I'm Chris. I'm so glad to meet you. So glad to see you again. It's just great. I don't do that, right?
Right.
I just come in and be like, Hey! And this is what's going on, or whatever. That is definitely. Well, normally what you have to eat is what I like to eat, so that's a good thing. But when we come, and I want to challenge you with this, when you come with thanksgiving. That's what you come with. When you enter his presence, you enter with thanksgiving. And I just want to share with you some of the things that's been happening to me, is that when you do that, is all of a sudden your whole life gets reoriented, where it's not so much about you anymore, it's about him. And this works incredibly when you're walking through stuff. Because when you're walking through stuff, what's just swirling around the recess of your mind is what you're walking through. It dominates your thought process. It dominates your thinking. It even affects the way that you speak. It affects the way that you live. It affects your body language. It does all that stuff. So when you come to him and you're going through something, I've been learning the first thing that you shouldn't do is pray. Now hear me on it. That's a great soundbite too for just wrecking this whole sermon. But listen. Maybe the first thing you do shouldn't be pray. Maybe the first thing that you should do is offer him thanksgiving.
Yep.
Because another one of those anchor verses in 1 Thessalonians teaches us that the will of God for our lives is to give thanks in all things. How many have scored 100% with that one? In all things. Give thanks. I enter his presence with thanksgiving. And this is all with the full assurance and the full security. This is not with the full security that he desires me. That he's not annoyed by my presence. He's not moved by my brokenness. He's not even a little bit. He delights. I've said this a lot here. I've said this a lot over the years. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. He doesn't just put up with you. He's like, man, I wish I could do a redo. No, he doesn't think that way. You're not bothersome to the Father. Right? It's not like he was like, okay, I got to go get Jesus. Because he's got to screw it up perpetually. Let's go, Jesus, would you go to the cross? God, would you go to the earth? Jesus, would you go shed your blood? Because these people are driving me nuts. He doesn't think that way. But when we project our thoughts on him, it oftentimes comes out that way. So reorienting our lives, and there's a couple different ways that I've been doing this. I mean, you pick whatever works for you, but I've been just taking walks every day.
Yep.
Been taking walks. In the summer, it was first thing in the morning. Now it's after I drop Ari off at school, but just taking walks. And the first portion of that walk is just giving him thanks. It's just giving him thanks. No matter what season it's in, no matter what I'm experiencing or not experiencing, Thanksgiving should never bow its knee to your circumstance.
That's right. Amen.
Never. It should not be optional. You enter his gates with what? It's a song. That is a clear directive from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. By the way, King of Kings is supposed to be over there, just so you know. Okay. Anyway, just saying. Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. I was distracted in worship this morning because it was another way. There you go. That's good. Okay. Just if you're visiting, I so apologize. I'm sorry. But this is family time. Amen. We just go for a walk, and you just it's so simple. It's so simple. But again, when things are heavy, it's hard to get into simplicity. But as Father, I thank you that you have chosen me long before I chose you.
Yes.
And I thank you that in Christ there is no condemnation.
Amen.
And I thank you that in Christ nothing can separate me from your love. And I thank you, God, that you have blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Which means you've adopted me, you've predestined me, you have redeemed me by your blood, and given me the forgiveness of my sins, past, present, and future. You just start to thank him for these things. You start to thank him. I have, as Pastor said last week, I have a new name. A new name. My new name is, I am no longer, I can't say I'm no longer Chris, because I am Chris, but I am a son of God. I'm a child of God. I am absolutely reconciled to the Father. And so, you just thank him for all these, and then you start to thank him, you know, as you get past the vertical, you start thanking him for us. Thank you that I'm awake this morning. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I have breath. Thank you for my incredible, amazing, beautiful, I won't say it, but you're, right? I love you. My wife is incredible. You start thanking him for her. Maybe you had a fight before you left, but you just start thanking him for her.
Yeah.
Watch how that changes. You'll probably come back repenting. Anyway, which, guys, you should, because you're probably the issue. But anyway, you thank him for the things that are just seem so, seemingly so ordinary and that we take for granted. How many take some things for granted? Just thank him for it. Thank him for it. Thank you got heat in your home, even if you didn't turn it on this morning. I mean, thank you that you're saving money in electric. I don't know what you're doing. But cultivating a heart of thanksgiving, it just absolutely changes things. And here's what else it does. It gives you his perspective.
Right.
And this hit me like a ton of bricks last week when Pastor was referring at the end to Romans chapter 12, which is, again, a very, very familiar scripture. Can we turn there, Romans chapter 12? I know that a lot of you guys could recite it. Don't get braggadocious on me now. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. These two verses are some of the most powerful, powerful, powerful verses to teach us about what true worship is really like. In fact, he even says it. He says that presenting your body a living sacrifice is the heart and essence of what true worship really is. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? The mercies of God. What should you have in view if you're going to worship properly? The mercies of God, which are not just God having compassion on you. The mercies of God are actually the totality of everything he said from Romans 1 to Romans 11. Everything. So fill up your bag and then open it up and realize what the mercies of God are actually are. He says, so when you have the mercies of God in view, you then present your bodies. What's your body? It's your mind. It's not just the physical shell, it's your mind, it's your intellect, it's your thoughts, it's your choices, it's your motives, it's your intents, it's your heart, it's your soul, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's presenting you in all of your being before him as a living sacrifice, saying, I am no longer my own. I have been bought with a price, and therefore I crucify myself with you. And he says, this is the reasonable act of worship for every follower of Jesus. So when you offer him thanksgiving, what you're doing is you are keeping, you're aligning your heart with Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, saying, I am going to make this exchange this morning or the afternoon, whenever you do it. I'm making this exchange through giving you thanks. And the exchange is, I don't want my perspective any longer. I want yours. I don't want my carnal, fleshly, broken, foolish thoughts any longer to rule my life. I want the truth to rule my life. I want kingdom thinking. But it only happens when you allow the Holy Spirit to literally give you a whole new set of lenses for what you're experiencing and what's really going on in life. That's true worship. Worship is not four songs on a Sunday.
Amen.
It's a portion of it. It's a portion of it. And like I said in the opening, this is so vital. If you don't come every Sunday, you need to.
Amen.
You just need to. You need to recognize how valuable your presence is in this place.
Yes.
Somebody testified a Wednesday.
Amen.
I mean, in this church, there's something always going on. So it's just, you know, I mean, but yeah, it's intertwining your life. I don't want to get off on this, but it's oftentimes why people don't vote. My vote doesn't matter. Same reason why people don't come to church. It doesn't really matter from there or not. As someone who was led in the body of Christ for a long period of time, can I say that is just such a lie? It brings us joy to see your face. Even if we don't have 15 minutes to hang out and have a cup of coffee together and catch up, reality is, when I look around here and I survey, you are so valuable to what is happening here. And when you're not here, there's something missing.
Yes.
There's something missing. So get here every Sunday. Anyway, his perspective. When we gain his perspective, we begin to see earth from a different perspective. We become elevated above our normal way of perceiving. Obstacles that were once looming large now become smaller, and we see parts of the world that were previously not visible to us. That really ministered to me. The significance of our problems, is that really 4 minutes? Really? I guess I'm used to like 3 hours on Tuesday night, I guess, man. All right. But the significance of our problems begins to go from this to this.
Yes.
In his presence. It's in his presence. Now I'm going to begin to land a plane with this. Turn to Mark chapter 2 and verse 22. It just feels like I just got up here, Pastor Jerome. What is that? Feels like it. Doesn't it feel like I just got started? Anybody?
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind if we go to 12 o'clock? Would that be all right? Judy doesn't. Look at you. Judy doesn't mind, right? Judy would go to 12 o'clock. Judy'd stay here all day. She wouldn't care.
Yeah.
She's a lover of the word. Mark chapter 2, Jesus says, it's basically an illustration for, again, a familiar passage where Jesus is teaching about the new reality of the coming kingdom. And he basically says, listen, the kingdom of God can't be contained in old structures. That's what he's saying in this, all right? Let's read it together, and then I'll share with you what I've been going through with this respect to this verse. 22. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. He says, but new wine, everybody say new wine.
New wine.
But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, this is the overflow of recognizing the importance of thanksgiving in relationship to how merciful he's been to us. And for me, and this is a process, something that, if I'm being real honest, and this is kind of vulnerable for me, so if I stutter a little bit, I just being real. For me, this has not necessarily been the most enjoyable process that I've been experiencing, okay? So here's what I mean by this. when Jesus talks about new wineskins, I've always learned from both history and even in the scriptures that the way that you make a new wineskin is literally you just go kill another animal. Because that's what the wineskin was made of. It was made up of animal skins. So you need a new wineskin, you just go kill another animal, right? But as I began to study this with the Holy Spirit's help, what I've realized is that oftentimes that new wineskins were actually made from repurposed old wineskins. Yep. And so he's not contradicting himself because that old wineskin is literally going to become a new wineskin. But there was a four-step process where an old wineskin would become a new wineskin. And there's a whole lot in here, so I'm not giving you, I'm giving you the very, very bare minimum of it right now. The first process is the old wineskin had to be drained completely of the old wine. That was the first step. Completely. It's kind of like a 2 Corinthians 5 verse thing where old things become new. You leave your past behind, you forget the things that are behind, all that kind of stuff. So, but the old wine had to be drained out of the wineskin completely. And that took time. Once it did, it became dry and brittle. And so what they had to do was they then would take that skin and they would submerge it in water. They would just submerge it and drown it in water, saturating it. And this was also a very lengthy process. You could not rush it. You could not be hasty. You had to just allow that submerging to take place. So at the proper time, you would lift that skin out once it was properly saturated. And then you move on to step three, which was then you would pour oil on it. And you'd begin to rub the oil in every crevice of that skin. And you'd massage it in there. And then when it was properly lubricated and massaged, then the last part of the process was simply that you would stretch it, you would form it, and you would make it pliable and in a usable form again. And you would have a new wineskin. This has so much to do with our lives as we walk through the different seasons of life. Amen. And I think, for me, one morning, it was 4 or 5 months ago, and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I'm making you a new wineskin. And my thought went to immediately, and I'm sharing this with you because I think a lot of us are in these moments right now, or about to be in these moments. But I thought, again, new wineskin requires a dead sacrifice. I'm like, great, I got to die to things again. I'm going to become a new wineskin, I got to die, right? What part of me needs to die, Lord? He says, everything, I know. But what part of me needs to be crucified? And I do have to say that a lot of it is that perspective stuff. A lot of it is that perspective. But he said, I'm not calling you in this process to die. I'm calling you in this process because I want to be close to you. And so where I've been for a while now, my wife can testify to this, is I've been in that step two, just being submerged in the water. And the water, just to clarify, the water is representative of his word and his presence. His word and his presence. And can I just encourage you guys in this? You can come on up, Lan. I've wanted to rush this so much. Because as a leader, I'm like, let's get to the next thing. Divine insight, divine strategy. Let's just get there. Let's just get there. Let's hurry up, Lord. Let's hurry up. And he's like, come on, you get antsy because you want to move. Because how many know we know in part, we prophesy in part. And a lot of times, you know, as you're reading, as you're studying, as you're listening, as you're just immersing yourself in what other people are saying, what God is saying to other people, you're listening to the prophets, all these things. And it's like you can kind of see. It's like a broken glass. You kind of see, but you can't see it. You can't see it all. Right? And so you're like, kind of see that, kind of know. And he's like, relax. Just hang out in the water. Okay. Hang out in the water. And this is the place that I truly believe. I believe the church is on the verge of the greatest breakthrough we've ever seen.
Amen.
I mean that.
I agree.
I mean that. But can I say this? As much as, I know the spirit of this house, there's an urgency, and there should be an urgency. But sometimes there's just a pulling back. Sometimes there's just that word was so spot on this morning. The still waters. Just hang out there. And let them work. Just hang out there. But you got to hang out there. It's not a verse of the day type thing. It's certainly, hear me, this is not a Sunday thing. You have got to let him drown you in the word. And you got to let him drown you in his presence. And you're going to learn something that is so incredible. It is that you can just be. You don't have to do. That your value isn't in what you do. That you're going to be brought to a whole new level of spiritual maturity where I wasn't taught this. I was always under good teaching. But I was under the impression that my maturity was going to be evidenced in the expression of my spiritual gifting. Or in my knowledge of the word. Or in accomplishing something, or in achieving something. I really did. But that's not the way it is with God. He's not keeping like a scorecard going, great, 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 great. When he says this, he says, here's the metric for spiritual maturity. It's love. Can you just allow yourself to be loved by me? Can you recognize that I am your true father? Can you recognize that I delight in you and I desire you? That's what the blood was for. Can you stand to your feet this morning? That's what the blood was for. That's what the blood was for. The most powerful moment that's ever occurred or will ever occur on the face of the earth is when a 33-year-old man died on a cross. But this was not an ordinary man. This was not just a rabbi from Nazareth. This was the Son of God and the Son of Man, God in the flesh, who demonstrated his love by shedding his blood for every single one of you. Oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Can you reconnect this morning as we end? Can you reconnect with the power of that sacred, royal, and holy blood that calls out to you even now and says, I love you with an everlasting love. And do I want to use you? Absolutely do. But before I use you, I just want to be with you. Because the best part of being saved is Jesus. That's the best part of being saved. It's just him. That's the heart of our God, and that's the heart of worship. Can we pray this morning? Jesus, you are the best part of our lives. There's no one that compares with you. It reminds me of Peter when he said, where else can we go? For you have the words of life. You do, God. We live because you speak to us. We live, we move, and we have our being because you're in us. Because you said, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I want you to be my temple. I want you to be my very dwelling place. I'm going to make it so you can't get away from me, even if you tried. I'm going to live inside of you. God, thank you so much for the outpouring of your spirit. And thank you for all that it means Thank you that means that we have a treasure now in our earthen vessels. Thank you, God, that we can know forever without hesitation that you are for us. And Lord, as we move as a body into this next moment, to this next season, in the unfolding drama of your kingdom, Lord, would you help us to carry that banner high, because your banner over us is love. And as we do, Lord, we can love people around us. We can love our neighbors. We can love our enemies. We can love them in a pure, authentic way that's not self-serving, but that ultimately serves our King. Because as we sang this morning, you are worth it. Your worthiness is what got us out of bed this morning. You're worthy of it all, God. And so as we cultivate this heart of thanksgiving and we value your presence, Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for being worthy. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. 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 Amen.